we could stand before the throne and be counted as righteous. Lord Jesus, we can never repay the debt we owe. Thank you for paying it for us. Thank you that we can celebrate this morning that you are alive, that you are real, you're right here, that you fill this place, Holy Spirit, that you fill this place. Cover us with your blood, Lord. Cover us with your blood. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for falling short. Lord God, just be with us in this time. Fill our hearts with you, Lord. Speak to us through your word this morning, clearly, Lord God, and as we come to the table, let us lay back against your chest and hear your heartbeat, Lord. We want this to be about you. This is all about you, Lord God. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Do your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. There we go. Just a short announcement here. Just want to let everybody know that we're having a prayer retreat here on April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th over at Salem Acres. All the men are invited and encouraged. Amen? Encouraged to come and join with us to pray for what God has for us in 2016. Amen? God has great things. So I pray that the men of Potter's Hands will rise up for that occasion. Amen? And come and sacrifice a weekend. I know it's a sacrifice. And just come and pray and seek God and get to know each other more and more. Amen? Want to recognize three ladies over here. Sunny's not here. I guess she went in the back. But these three ladies here, Luella and Mary Ann, they're both from the Sunchild O'Chiefs Reserve. Sunny has had on her heart for many years to go and minister at this res. And so there was a connection made with them this week. And we're going to want to be doing a commissioning service here in a couple of weeks or whatever the case may be. But just to pray over these ladies so that their connection will be solid in Christ and that they'll go out to Sunchild O'Chiefs and minister to the res out there. God loves those people. Amen? God loves us all. So, but there's got to be people that are willing to stand up. Amen? And go forth. So we're going to, here's a couple ladies that are desirous for that, to see God change that whole community. Amen? A lot of stuff that goes on there that's not from God. So we want to pray over these ladies and just remember them in prayer as well. So we'll do that in a couple of weeks, whatever the case may be. So I guess the rest of the service, no one's going to be sharing today other than Pastor Stan. There you go.
That's what you think. Awesome. Isn't God good? Wow. Praise God. Yeah, let's just give him a real big hand. Thank God. Give him glory. Thank you, God, for being here. Thank you that, you know, you brought us to this place. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, I don't know why I came. The reason is, you know, it's going to be revealed. God's going to show you. He brought you here for a reason, and there's great hope. That's why we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. You know, I think actually we should do this. This is something that was a tradition for many, many years in the early church, that they would greet each other with the words, "He is risen," and someone else would say, "He is risen indeed." So let's stand up and find someone and tell them that he is alive. He is risen.
He is risen.
Indeed.
Check, check.
Okay. He is risen. Let's try that again. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's alive. Isn't that good? And like Paul says, if he hasn't risen, then we are the most sorry of all people, right? I mean, we should have been curling and bowling and going to movies instead of going to church. Because then he's not really alive. But he is alive. He is so alive, and there's hope. And if you came here today and you need hope, you just know that there's something going on in your life that has to change. The great news is that Jesus offers that. He really does. He offers it to you. He says, "You are my child. I love you." And he offers you hope. And he says, I can remedy whatever it is that's going on in your life. I can remedy it because I've already died for it. I've already taken your place on the cross. I've already dealt with your brokenness, your addiction, your anger, your poverty, whatever it is. I have dealt with it on the cross, and I've come so that you can have life. Jesus said that, right? I've come so that they may have life. I'm just going to use this. We're having a little trouble with the microphone, but you hear me okay, right? Thank you, Jesus. We got a lot of things going on today. There's going to be a baptism. Ken's going to be baptized, and that'll happen. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And like I've said before, we're kind of leaving that tank out here because, you know, there's people who are saying, "I want to get baptized." And we believe from what the Word of God says that there's power in this. There's there's life-changing power. When you go in the water, you come out a different person. And I want to give the same invitation I've given in other weeks. If that's something you want today, don't be afraid. Just come on up, and you are welcome to get into the water. There's no course. There's nothing you need to pass. You don't need to, you know, you have a certain certificate before you can get baptized. Jesus just said, "Come and be baptized." And our John the Baptist welcomed people all the time to come to the river. And we're going to welcome you today. And if today Jesus calls you, then come. Amen? Just come. Maybe it's time for you to have something life-changing happening in your life. I only know one person who can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. He's done that in my life. It doesn't mean my life's perfect or that I'm perfect. I'm far from it. But Jesus is perfect, and he redeems my life from the pit. So there's an open invitation, later on to just come and get in the water and make that change that needs to happen. It isn't me calling you. It is the Spirit of God calling you. Amen? I really feel today that, and this needs to be brief, so if you have something brief, just a praise or something about the resurrection. And we're not even going to do the mic thing, so we're not going to do the mics. I'm just going to ask you to, we're going to open this up for just a few minutes and say, you know, what do you thank God for? What is bursting? What is bursting? What is bursting in your heart? Because something is bursting in your heart today. Let it burst. Let it come out. Someone have something today? Yeah. David, stand up. Be loud. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Give him a big hand. Amen. For your healing power. For your healing power. Let it burst out. Okay, let it just fall upon us, Lord. Who else? Yeah, Marilise.
Yeah, that's it. That's good. I like that. He paid it all for all of us. Amen? He paid it all. There's nothing left. There's no debt left. There's nothing left on the ledger. You know, whatever it is, it's taken care of. Your sins are taken care of. You say, thank you, Jesus? Yeah, let that burst. Let that flow out of you. Thank you, God. Someone else. I'm missing you. Eric, stand up, buddy.
Hey, look at this.
Test. Look at, yeah. Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, you were baptized.
Yeah.
You came here in a cane.
Yep.
You left out without a cane, pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
Thank you, Jesus.
But, the Lord's been impressing something upon me. I want to read a verse here.
Okay.
As soon as I put my glasses on, anyways. He hasn't healed that part yet. But I was talking with Ken yesterday morning about things that happened to me after my baptism. Because it says in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good. That's good work. That's right. Amen. Sometimes there's a battle, right? And you've known that. And we just keep praying for Eric. Eric is doing street ministry. He's sharing with Christ. He's sharing Christ with people. People are joining around him. You're being a great mentor and a great discipler. We pray for you, buddy. Yeah, it's all about him. But we need everyone to get engaged in that. That's good news. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anyone else? I know there's a bunch, but...
Right on. Amen. Hallelujah. I was reading a Daily Bread this morning about Doubting Thomas there, you know, and how when Jesus rose from the dead, he says, unless I see the prints in his hands and put my hand in the spear wound in his side, I'm not going to believe. And I just, man, how could you not believe, you know? And then after he saw Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. Eh? He fell to his knees. And Jesus said, you're blessed because you believe. More blessed are those who don't see and believe. If we can believe just by faith that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and then that's all it takes. Eh? It's just belief. And I was doubting this morning. I was doubting. I thought, my firstborn is here from Vancouver, Danielle, and I was like, oh, she's going to sleep in. She said she's going to come to church with me. She's going to sleep in. She won't make it. I was just doubting. I know. I said I wasn't. She won't make it. You know, God, can't you just do this one little thing for me? Just get her here, you know. And I go there, and she's already, oh, I've been waiting for you, Dad. I'm ready to go. I go, I'm sorry. I doubted, Lord. I'm sorry. I had to repent.
Welcome. I'm sorry he embarrassed you. He does that to all of us, just so you know. So, you know. Yeah, okay, Sonny?
I just want to praise God so much. I have gone from being a 68-year-old great-grandma to feeling like I'm 25. I've been healed from my rheumatoid arthritis is like 90% gone.
Oh,
I have got a body that just feels like all my pain has lifted, and I am so grateful. He is risen, and I'm living in the resurrection spirit.
Thank you,
He's
Jesus.
He's lifted me up,
Amen.
And I'm downtown, and look out.
Amen.
Woo!
Thank you, God. All right, I'm going to do one more. Just is there someone? Yeah, there we go. Tola.
Praise God. I just want to thank God because on Friday, I had a terrible accident. I'm a very fast driver when I'm on the way. So on Highway 11, I don't know what happened. I was just running, and something just told me to slow down. And as soon as I pressed on the brake, my red tire just flew ahead of me and was like, I'm like, so God was so faithful that I was able to just control myself and pull off. I'm just grateful to God, that's all.
Okay, so there's a confession in there somewhere. and a whole lot of gratitude, right? There's, thank you, God. Wow, do you feel the Spirit moving? God is here. If you've ever doubted if God's real, you know, just open your heart right now. Open your heart to God, because he's here. He's in this place. He's brought you here. He wants to minister to your needs. He wants you to know he loves you. And I want to just lead in prayer and then open the word. So please pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Today we celebrate that you are resurrected, you're alive, and there's no one like you. We experience right now the hope that you inject into our lives, that you remind us that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that you're in control. There's some people here today that are wondering about that because everything seems out of control in their lives, but you are in control. You are God. And pray, Lord, we pray today that you will reveal yourself, make yourself known. We are here expecting to hear from you and to know that your Spirit is just leading us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you that you have defeated the enemy. We know the enemy. We know him well. We know how he wars against us. We know how he ravages our families. We know how he has done so much to steal and kill and destroy. And we see the residual effects of what he does in our lives and in our world all around us. But today we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You are alive. You are alive. You have accomplished what you set out to accomplish. When you said, "It is finished," you did not say, "I am finished." The work is finished. Thank you, Jesus. You continue to live in our hearts. You live in this church, and you empower us, and we want to follow you. So, God, now as we open your word, I just pray that you'll make it clear. Speak today. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. You say amen? Okay, so I'm going to just use this mic, which only gives me one hand to, you know, flail around with. And I want to read today from Matthew. If you have your Bibles, just open them. Matthew, the story of Jesus' resurrection, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and this is, you know, a story that we've heard lots of times, and just kind of tell you right off the beginning here, right from the outset, that, man, God just kind of gave me this revelation this week, and I've been, it's just, for me, it's been like eye-opening, and there's been something new and fresh in this, which is very cool, because I've done this for 30 years, and you know, you tell the same story over and over again, but God just said, why don't you look at it this way for a change? And so I'm giving you a fair warning, all right? So let's read this, and God, just make it clear to us. Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And that's as far as we're going to read. It's going to even just... kind of hard to even get into this. So just, Lord, just open our hearts right now. Help us to hear. You know, what do you want us to hear from you today? I'm going to start with a question. Maybe you can just shut those doors too, Jody. Do you mind doing that? The question is, why did the angel who came down from heaven, according to what the word says, why did the angel roll the stone away? And it's going to seem like a really dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Why? I want you to think about that this morning. Why did the angel come and roll the stone away? And the answer that most of us are going to answer, even from back when we were in Sunday school, is that he rolled the stone away so that Jesus could come out of the tomb, and so Jesus could declare his victory over death. And if you read Mark and Luke and John, all three accounts kind of tell it that way. They tell it that Mary and the other Mary or some of the other women, they come after the fact. The stone's already been rolled away. If you read those three Gospels, it's already happened. It's done. And they come and they come to the tomb and they see that the stone is rolled away already. But if we read carefully in Matthew, Matthew kind of tells it in a little different way. And I think this is really profound and important, because what Matthew tells us is that the two Marys come to the stone and they see all of this happen. It's not after the fact. They come and they witness it actually with their eyes. They come to the tomb and they see the angel, and the angel rolls the stone away, and then they look inside. And I'm going to just read that part of it again just to prove it to you, okay? So read it with me, because I don't think we've been reading it this way. But in Matthew's gospel, he makes this kind of clear that those two Marys are part of the whole story. They're not coming after the fact. Listen, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. Now, they're there, right? They're already there. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, you get that? They're there. They're seeing all of this. This is really important. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Do you get this? You kind of following this? So Mary and the other Mary are there, but here's the really amazing thing. So they're witnessing this whole thing, but here's what doesn't happen. They don't see the angel roll the stone away, and it doesn't say, and then Jesus came out of the tomb and said, hey, Mary and Mary, it's me. So the amazing thing, and I think it's a profound thing, is that somehow Jesus was already out of the tomb. He was already out of the tomb. He wasn't in the tomb. Never does it say that he's in the tomb. He wasn't there. They witnessed the whole event, right? But Jesus wasn't there. We're told in John that after Jesus rose from the dead in John chapter 20, and he appears to Thomas, we're told there that he says to Thomas, peace be with you, and that the doors were locked, and Jesus came, and Jesus stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and put your hand in my side. Jesus, in his resurrected body, in his perfect state of being raised and being raised and resurrected, did not have physical limitations. Do you understand? You believe that? I mean, we all kind of know that, right? He was able to just walk through that thick door in that room where Thomas was. And we know that from the story of the road to Emmaus, the two guys, Cleopas and the other guy who was on the road to Emmaus, we know that Jesus had the ability to just all of a sudden appear. They were walking along, and the Bible says all of a sudden there was Jesus. Whoa, where did you come from? And that later on, after Jesus reveals himself and he eats the bread and he breaks the bread, all of a sudden Jesus was gone because he didn't have that physical restriction. You agree? So even if you go today, you know, there's three Gospels that do say that this all happened before Mary and Mary showed up. We would still all agree that Jesus had the ability to walk through that stone open of the grave, right? Do we agree with that? that he did not have to have that stone removed. In my opinion, I believe that Jesus was long gone. He was long gone. And here's the, you might go, well, so what's the point? Why does it matter? And here's why it matters. This is why it really matters, is that that stone rolled away wasn't for Jesus' sake. It was for my sake. Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away. He never needed the stone rolled away. He had walked through that stone a long time ago. He was not restricted by that big rock. It's for my sake that the Bible tells me that. It's for my sake and your sake that we have Mary and Mary taking a peek into that empty tomb. Why? So that we get to see it through the eyes of Mary and Mary. We get to look and see what's in the tomb. And guess what? It's not Jesus. He's not in there. We need to see that. Jesus didn't need that. You know, the old sort of the story or the picture I have in my head from way back when I was a kid going to church, it is a wrong picture, is Jesus on the inside of the tomb, you know, kind of banging. I'm alive, you know, banging on. Someone roll the rock away, right? I'm ready, I can get out now. Right? So, and you either have that picture of Jesus, let me out, or you have the picture of Jesus who just does that. He goes, I'm alive, man. I am alive. I have victory. There is nothing physical. There is no door. There is no door that can keep me out. But it's for our benefit. It's for your benefit and mine that we see this through the eyes of Mary and Mary so that we look into the tomb today and we go, there is no Jesus there. He is not dead. He's alive. He is alive, right? That's a whole, for me, a whole different way of looking at things because it changes things for me. It changes how I look at the resurrection. It changes, you know, when the Bible says that, when Paul says that, now the same Spirit that has raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. I'll get to that in a few minutes, but that changes how I even look at that really pivotal text in Romans. It changes things because Jesus Christ was never limited by the physical rock in front of that tomb. He was able to go right through it. He's got that kind of supernatural power. Thank you, Lord. And it changes things because it's for my benefit. I need to see what's going on. I need to see, you know, I think from God's point of view, he could have just left Jesus in the grave and he would have been out anyways. He didn't have to roll. He didn't have to roll the stone away. But for people like us, we needed to have that witness. We needed to have people who saw it and who recorded it and said, no, guess what? We saw inside there and the claws were nicely laying there, but there was no Jesus. There was no Jesus. I needed to have those eyewitnesses. And it says something for me about my heart. Something about my heart that God wants to reveal. He wants to know what's in my heart. And what, you know, he wants to know what that as my heart gets exposed, and as your heart gets exposed to each other and to the world, that what happens is that message gets out there. Look, you know, as you see more into my heart, and as I see more into your heart, the message is, look, he's not dead. He's alive in here. Amen? So that's one of the things that I want to sort of focus on a couple things here before we get into the water. But here's one of the things that God says, you know, because of this story. He says, because he reveals through my heart that Jesus is alive and he's not dead. And when we do things as believers, when we follow him and when we're obedient and when we're when we have love that we normally wouldn't have, what happens is we communicate to the world and we communicate to each other, you know, here, look inside. If you look inside, you'll see that Jesus isn't dead, but there's life in here. Because the question is never, is Jesus alive? The question is always, are you alive? And am I alive? And he lives in me. And what he does is he wants, and I really believe this, he wants more and more of our heart to be revealed to each other, But more, even more importantly, to the world out there, that look, he's not dead. This Jesus, he's alive in me. There's hope in me. There's victory in me. There's freedom in me because of what Jesus has done. And the way God reveals that to people out there is he reveals our heart. And sometimes we have to go through hard things, and we don't like that. But sometimes we have to go through hard things so that God can reveal our heart to people out there. And they look at us and they go, wow, there is something living in that person that I need to know about. There's someone living in that person. I need to know about that someone. When we show, just hear me today, when we show unusual love, when we show a love that could only come from God, we love someone who's just unlovable, it reveals our hearts. And people, they'll see that and they go, there's something alive there that I didn't know was alive before this happened. And I want that. I want that life in me, right? When we show mercy, where we have no reason whatsoever to show mercy, people see that there's life in our hearts. When we don't get offended, and we sure should be offended by all the stuff that's gone on, I'll tell you, we should rise up in offense, but we don't. Instead, we respond with gentleness and peace and self-control. Then there's just this little glimpse into our heart that people can see, and they go, there's something alive in there. There's someone. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is living in that person. You agree? When we don't keep a record of wrong, when we have every right to, when we don't, then there's a glimpse. People get a glimpse into our hearts, and they go, there's something there. And it's compelling, and I want it. And it's got to be this Jesus. This Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Amen?
All right.
And like I said, sometimes, and this is my life, sometimes we have to go through hard things. And sometimes it's our own doing or other people's doing. None of that seems to really matter. But often God allows us to go through those things so that our hearts can be revealed. He wants our hearts to be revealed to each other so that people look at us and they go, I see something in her, and I do see something in you, by the way. I see your tenderness. I see your generosity. I see how you love people. You know, when you do that, when that's evident in your life, I see it. Everyone else sees it, and I get a glimpse. I get to look into your heart and see that Jesus is not dead. He's alive in you. That's the first thing. That's why this is so important, the way we read this, okay? The second thing is that the angel ultimately says to the two Marys to go and tell the rest of the church, basically, go and tell the other disciples to, and here's the two words, to come and see. Get them all here. Come and see that he is not lying here. Come and see. Man, that is the cry of the church, or it should be. I mean, this is the message that we ought to be bringing. Come and see. If you've got a neighbor, if you've got a friend, you've got family that don't go to church, they don't know Jesus, these are the two important words. Come and see. Come. See that Jesus is alive. See that he's not lying there anymore. He's not dead. Come and see this. You got to see this. This is good stuff. Right? Here's a bold statement. But if you're coming here and you're not seeing, maybe you've come here for a while, you don't see Jesus, you don't see people loving each other, you don't see signs and wonders, that's just part of it, but you're not seeing any change, you're not hearing of any prayers that are being answered. You're coming, but you're not seeing anything, you maybe ought to go to somewhere else. I mean it. I'm not going to go to church. Okay. I'm not going to church where we can't see what God's doing. We need to come and see. It ought to be visible. It ought to be evident. I know sometimes people aren't ready to see or their eyes aren't open. There's a whole kind of, but if nothing is happening here, let me put it in those terms. If absolutely nothing is visible here, there's nothing that God's doing here, we should go somewhere else where God is doing those sort of things. Because going to church being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we should be coming and we should be seeing. It should be tangible. It should be evident. It should be revelatory that I'm seeing it in your lives, that people's lives are being changed, that the message of hope is being proclaimed every single time we get together, that there's a love that is an unusual kind of love that's flowing between the people who are here. And if we're not seeing that, something's wrong. Something's wrong, right? Come and see. I mean, that has got to be the best message, and it's not really a big theological message. It's just come and see. Come, you want to see Jesus, you should come here, and you will see him. And it might only be in the way she serves, but you're seeing it, or how she loves, or how he forgives someone that he really never needed to forgive, but he did because of the love of Jesus. Come and see that Jesus reigns in this place. Amen? Come and see it. And it's really all about life, isn't it? I mean, today's Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate the birth, not the birth, but the resurrection of Jesus. He's alive, right? It's time that we started proclaiming the life. The church, bear with me here a little bit, but the church for years has spent way more time talking about death than life. We've been more engaged in the business of death than in the business of life. We've been more interested in the fact that people have their names written in the membership roll of the church than that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's a sin, and that's wrong, and that's why death has permeated the church. It's really true. We've been interested in marrying and burying people, and burying has been a big part of it, and a lot of people only look to the church as the place where you get buried, and that the wonderful thing is if you go to church, they'll say nice things about you, and you maybe will be able to be buried in the church cemetery, which we don't have one of those, because if we did, it would be in the bingo hall. But for a long time, that's what was important. Your name is written in the membership roll, and you're going to have a good church funeral when you get buried, and they'll say good things about you, but I got really bad news for you. It doesn't matter how good the preacher is and how well he preaches you into heaven. You don't get there because he preached you there. You don't. And that life is so much more important than death, and that Jesus is all about life. In fact, you don't even see Jesus around death. Whenever there's death, he seems to raise it from the dead. You know, raise up, and he comes out of that empty grave because he's about life. And it's time that we started promoting life, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Come and see. Come and see that he's alive. Come and see that he's alive. This isn't about death. There is no last unction. If you're dying, you know, there's no last rites. I mean, we can come and pray with you, but maybe, you know, the only hope we have is not maybe, but is that we've given our lives to Christ before that happens. Right? That we've offered ourselves, we've submitted to him, that we have somewhere along the line in our lives, we have come and we have seen that he is alive. Yeah? And he lives. He lives. He lives in me. Amen. And just to sort of tie those two things together, until we recognize that, until we come to that point where we want to make that a proclamation that Jesus is alive, and that you can come and you can see him, that he is visible. He lives in his people, and he lives in his church. Until that happens, then we will not really be revealing or opening our hearts that anyone ever really see what's deep down inside of us or how important he is in our lives. The last thing today, and I want to leave time here, so just want to do this kind of quickly, but there's just a last thing that I think is just a really good news. I get great comfort in this, and it's true, which makes it all the better. And that's that, you know, this Jesus that we celebrate today, this Jesus who is the hope of my life, he has the ability, and just hang on to this today, guys. He has the ability to go through any wall, to go through any door, No matter how thick or how hard it is, it doesn't seem like it matters at all to Jesus. He doesn't struggle on the inside. He's not pulling as hard as he can to try to open it. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. And when there's a wall, he does that without any problem, without any strenuous work. He just walks through the wall. And I don't know what the wall is in your life. I don't know what the struggles that you might be going through, but I do know this, that Jesus can conquer them so easily without any effort because of who he is. Amen? And here's where we get back to, I think, Romans, where Romans says, so we hang on to this verse. Just give me a second with this one. But, you know, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you or lives in me. So if that's true, let's try to connect the dots here. If that's true, and it is true, and if it's true that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gave him the ability to not only come to life, but to walk through the stone that was rolled in front of it, right? If that's true, then it's also true that this spirit who lives in us gives us that same ability to break down that wall, or even not even to break it down, but to walk right through it, right? We can walk right through the wall. We don't even need to wait for the wall to come down. And in my opinion, we spend a lot of time in our lives waiting. We're standing back and we're going, well, as soon as God rolls that stone away, you know, as soon as I'm just going to wait, I'm going to pray. And one day he's going to roll the stone away. But if we're learning anything today, we're learning that he didn't need the stone to be rolled away. He just walked right through it. And if that's the power that raised Christ from the dead, and if it really is that power that's in me, then I don't need to wait. I don't need to wait for the stone to roll away. I can walk right through it in the power of the resurrected Christ. Amen? So we declare that justice is going to reign. We declare that there'll be mercy where there's no mercy. We walk through whatever the government says and the red tape that the government might have, whatever it is in our lives, we walk through it because it's already been defeated. And I don't know exactly how that plays out in our church, but I know that it starts with us believing this. I don't know exactly how that plays out in your life, but I want to proclaim the gospel to you today and tell you it's time to stop waiting for the door to get open. You don't need to wait. You don't need to wait for the door to get open, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead now reigns in you. You can just walk through it. You have victory. You are not held captive. You're not held in the chains of that big, solid rock. It's time that we stop sitting back, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for the door to be open. We have the power to go through the door. And I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's the addiction door. Maybe it's the anger door. Maybe it's the unforgiveness door. You got this big, thick door. It's a foot thick. And it's all about unforgiveness. It's all about what's been done to you and the self-pity that has just filled up your life. And you're waiting. You're saying, well, I'm waiting till when God opens that door, I'll walk right through it. He's given you, I got to end here, but he's given you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he's given you the ability to overcome that and to step right through it. It takes faith, because it looks like, I'll be honest with you, it looks like you're going to bang your nose into the stone. You do this, you know, you're pretty sure you're going to hit something, but you won't, because he has given you the power of the resurrection, the power to overcome whatever that is in your life. And he, Jesus, can penetrate any heart. He can walk through a 6-inch hardwood door to see Thomas. He can walk right through the stone that's rolled in front of that empty tomb or in that tomb. He can walk into your heart, even though it is thick with anger and resentment and sorrow. How many of you are sorrowful today because of the hard things that have happened in your life? Jesus easily can take that sorrow away. The anger, the unforgiveness, the disappointment, whatever that is, I believe that Jesus himself would say to you, to me today, take a step and you'll see it will be behind you. It is behind you. It is behind you. Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are the life and that you fill us with victory and that we can breathe you in. Thank you that you are the hope in our lives. And sometimes, God, for years we've just seen this big, huge door. We don't know how to open it. And that you say to us today, you don't need to open it. You just need to trust me and to pass right through it. God, I pray for every one of us who are here. There's some of us today, we have a pretty clear picture of what that door is. We know what a big stumbling block it's been. We want to just to be completely free. We want to walk through it. We want to be in your arms. So increase our faith today. Thank you that today we get to see water baptism and we all get to taste of the bread and the juice and remember and believe that you are the Lord. What a day. What a God. I pray, God, that we'll just hear your voice. The only voice that matters is your voice, Jesus. And you say, come and see. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You say amen? Come on up, Ken. All right, yeah. He needs a little encouragement, so. And all right. And if there's anyone else wanting to get baptized today, you just come on up and join us here. There's a great opportunity for you.
Tell us a little bit what's got to do.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, first of all, just thank the services of Red Deer. That's the only reason I stand here right now. Well, not the only reason, but it definitely helped. So I'll just give them a hand of applause. Yeah.
It's all right. It's all good.
Okay, my name's Kendrick. I'm 30 years old. And I just went with the flow. I didn't pick this for any reason, but my heart led me here. I was faced with a lot of decisions lately, a lot of temptations, and I was planning to do this a couple weeks ago, and I guess I wasn't strong enough. Yeah. I didn't have the strength to do it on my own, and I'm just blessed that I'm here now, because, you know, it's, yeah, and just yesterday, I felt my heart and this power from the inside, and I was led to AA an hour early, and I'm an organized guy, and usually that doesn't happen, and I was a sitting duck, and I had temptations everywhere, and it was, I was lost, and I knew I was going to lose. So I ran to home, people's place to be by my type group, my support system. They're all in this room right now, and I'm blessed for that. Amen. Yeah. Overwhelmed. Like, for me to be standing here, That's proof that everyone can be saved, because I had no hope. Yep. And which definitely you don't know what faith is. I think, thanks, Eric. Give him an applause, because he's the one that brought me in. Okay, also, thanks, Pastor Elvin. This guy right beside me. If it wasn't for them, words of wisdom, I could have got lost and scared. You know, it's a lot to go from one and then to see and believe and feel the love. And I feel it. I see it. I see a different way of life now. I'm glad for it. It's just, it's beautiful. Smile on my face every day. For people to feel that, I lost it, and I was losing. But I never gave up, and people in this room didn't give up on me, and I thank you for that. I'm blessed, and I love you all. Thank you.
Tell us, just tell us a little bit about what happened last year, what you were telling me yesterday with your business, and why you lost it. And
okay. Yeah. So, addictions. I guess I have a big heart. I've always had a big heart ever since I was a teenager, well, young age to teenage life. And that also was the cause of being weak and peer pressure. And just not being strong, or the guidance in, fighting addiction. And I ended up falling into it for 12 years. And, 2 years ago, I was trying to start a company. I was given, I was working for someone, and everyone just said, Ken, go on your own, just do it. Do it on your own. You've got everything. You've got the capabilities. You got the heart. You got the determination. So I did. And one day I was given a Bible 2 years ago, and I never ever opened it, but that was a sign. And so last year I'm trying to get this company going. And it was working. It just, I was fighting with addiction, and it wasn't as smooth as it should have been, you know. I lost some work, but I maintained busy. But this year now, it's developed into me finding God. That was the reason I was given that Bible. I have it here today. I walk around with it every day. So that's a sign. I'm just going with my heart. I'm not going with what I think. What I think is usually leads me to the wrong direction. So I'm going with my heart, and I'm going to get this my company rolling, helping the sheltered people get them back on track. I've been from the inside and out, and I know exactly. I know all the people here, the people in the shelters. That's the big heart that I've been given when I was a young kid. And I found it again, and that's what I'm going to do with my company. And that's just beautiful. That's I know with you guys helping and everything, that's just so beautiful. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, God. Isn't that encouraging? That's good. And we just, today, can we speak life into you? We speak the power of the resurrected Lord in your heart. And going into the water is a reminder to us that the old Ken is dead. We bury him in the water, and there's a brand new creature, a brand new Ken that's going to come out of the water. And all the old is gone, and that God's going to fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit. Yeah.
And what he just said, it's weird, like 20 seconds before you brought me up here, that just clued into my mind of exactly how deep and I'm always worried about the shame and the sins I've caused to people, and I'm always in a rush to fix those. You know, I've always had that due to addiction, and then when I'm sober, and I just want to, I apologize, and I want everyone to just have no judgment with me. I mean the best, and I want to help others, just like I've been helped, you know. And, you know, that's a big thing. I didn't even feel it until 20 seconds before you, what really is happening to me today. And this is, yeah, this is wicked. So thank you.
He means wicked in the best possible sense. So, yeah. Okay, you know, before we do this, I want to just give the invitation again. There may be someone else here who you know you need to get baptized. You want to be baptized. You know God's calling you. So I want to give you that opportunity. Is there someone else who wants to come forward and get in the water today? Don't be afraid. Yeah, it's good, right? That's okay. There'll be other opportunities, but if God's calling you today, right, don't put it off till tomorrow. He wants to make you brand new. And he wants all the old. Isn't that something? All the old, everything you've done, the old person, all of it is dead. It's gone. It's been buried with him in baptism. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Okay, you get to be the main show today. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to kind of do Lord's Supper and baptism sort of all at the same time. I'm going to ask Darcy and Kirsten and Tim and Barb to come up. I know you guys didn't know that, but come up right now. And as we get into the water, Rob's going to just grab his guitar. I want to invite all of you to come and grab, you will be given a piece of bread. I know, sorry about that. And a little cup of juice. And then we're going to stand around here and we're going to witness this baptism. And after the baptism, we will take and we will eat and we will drink. And we'll celebrate the fact that we're alive. Amen? So come on up and find your way around the tank.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is.
Just come on in. We're going to eat and drink in a bit. Just hang on to it. Don't drink it yet. Don't eat it yet. It's okay. Come on in. Let's gather around here. Get as close as you can. Come on in.
You are my everything.
Let's all get in as close as we can. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty,
who was and is and is to come.
Thank you.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, we just worship you, God.
I will adore you.
We welcome.
Lord, we welcome. I adore you.
A new soul, right? A new believer in Jesus. Oh, Say hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, God. The Bible says that there are thousands of angels that rejoice when one that is lost is found. You say hallelujah. Yeah, alive, alive, my Jesus is alive. Woo. Oh, holy, holy. Holy, holy, sing it with me.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Come and see. Come and see what God is
with
doing.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you.
Sing it one more time.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you.
Thank you, Lord. We adore you, Lord.
I will
give you all glory, God. You are the risen Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you save us. You save us from our sin. You save us from ourselves. Thank you that there's great hope in you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you.
And all the people said, amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you that there's hope. You know, just give me a sec here, but I know there's a couple people here. You just need to hear this. I feel this prophetic word that God is saying there's hope for you. You're feeling like there isn't. You're feeling like this is an us and them. Those are those people. They're enjoying this, but it's not for me. You're listening to a lie, okay? Don't listen to that lie. This is for you. You are us. You are part of the body of Christ. Jesus died for you as much as he died for me. And there is amazing hope for you. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. He has not given up on you. And he's going to, whatever it is, there's something in your life. There's some huge wall. There's some obstacle. There's something that you can't win. And you're right. But he can, and he does. He has already won this for you. And here's a promise. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So just do that. Just do that. Come and see, because God is here. You know that. You know that he's here. There's none of us in this room that can deny this. God is here. God loves you so much. One of the things that Jesus did before he ascended into heaven, even before he died on the cross, is he said, I want to give you something to remember me by. And when you do this, when you eat this, and when you drink from the cup, you just remember that I love you. You remember that you are mine. You remember that you belong to me. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. You belong to me. You remember that I am with you always, even to the very end. I'll be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And so Jesus, that night, just before he died, he broke the bread, and he was with his closest friends. He said, this is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe the love of God for you. You got one? Okay, good, good. I talked too long. You say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your body. Thank you that you gave your life. You gave your life for me. And the same night, he took the cup. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. You live by a new covenant, not an old covenant. I will replace the heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And people will see the heart of flesh that's in you. They'll get a glimpse of the Jesus who lives in you because of this blood that I poured out for you. Take, remember, celebrate, and believe that Jesus is alive. Yeah. Glory to God. Let's give a big hand. Woo! All right. We are going to just receive God's blessing, and then Rob's going to lead us in a closing song. Receive these words from God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. God be with you. Amen.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Name above all names,
He is worthy of all praise.
And my heart will sing,
how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Good worship this morning. Good service, man.